Terms of what is coming up on the show, plenty to interest everybody, I hope. For environmental matters, I'm going to have Andrew St. Ledger having a chat with me initially. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the chat room on CRCFM. It's 11 minutes past 10 o'clock and it's time for us to take our first guest. I'm very interested in all things environmental, as you've probably gathered over the few months you've been listening to me. And today is no different. I'm going to just mention an organisation that are doing an awful lot to draw attention to all things environmental in the community, and that's the Environmental Pillar. The Environmental Pillar believe that the use of highly hazardous chemicals is having a major impact on biodiversity through the reduction of various insect species, etc. They're calling for an end to the use of certain hazardous chemicals, but to tell us a little bit more, I have the pleasure of speaking to Andrew St. Ledger, who is spokesperson for the Environmental Pillar and is on the line at the moment. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Angela. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed Queen there and Five, just to get us all wide awake for this important issue about the environment.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I love that name, by the way, St. Ledger, Andrew St. Ledger. It's got a very nice ring to it, if I may say so. Perspective of particular intra-environmental pillar in terms of your focus.
Well, did you want what the Environmental Pillar does?
That would be helpful for the listeners, because some people may not be familiar with it.
Yes, the Environmental Pillar is it's a group of national environmental NGOs. You know, it's like there's 27 have come together. They're it's part of a social partnership. So it's the Environmental Pillar, you could say, of social partnership, and it's a voice for the environment sector. And we try to lobby government departments to improve their environmental credentials, basically. So we lobby on behalf of environmental issues and concerns. And I'm the rep for an organisation called the Centre for Environmental Living and Training down here in East Clare. And that's kelpnet.org.
And in other words, you know, you've got numbers behind you.
Well, it's the official voice of the environment sector, you could say. As I say, 27 national environment NGOs come together and agree policy. So in our agreed policy regarding forestry and tree cover, for which I'm involved, I'm the convener of a tree cover working group, we had a couple of years ago agreed the policy that chemicals should be banned from forestry. And we included herbicides and pesticides. So that was, I suppose, the link in to the submission we just made. The Environmental Pillar made a submission on cypermethrin. Cypermethrin is a pesticide.
Can I just stop you for a minute? I'm sure. And I sound very naive, but why do forests need pesticides?
Okay, well, it's a good question, and you see, the type of forestry we're pursuing, you could be argued, is not really forestry. It's tree farming, industrial commercial tree farming.
Yes.
And the model we adopted was a UK, introduced by England in 1906, when we had less than 1% tree cover. We were seriously short of trees. And the model that was adopted was this industrial scientific forest model, which requires fertilizers and chemicals. In this case, the reason for cypermethrin is that the species that was chosen to grow fast in Irish conditions is Sitka spruce. It's not native. It's from the west coast of America and Canada. It does grow well here, but it's not from here. And it has a pest called the pine weevil. It's a beetle, and it's a boring insect. It basically bores into these trees and eats them. So in order to control the pine weevil, after a clear fell, when the trees are cut, exposed stumps are treated to stop this beetle getting in. The beetle is in Ireland. It came in on imported timber and has, you know, through shipping over the years. So the beetle is here, and Gwealtear are trying to control it constantly.
And does Sitka spruce as a species of tree, it doesn't allow much ground cover, does it, underneath it, from what I can remember?
It doesn't, because the leaves are acidic, the needles are acidic, and also the way they're planted for crop in straight rows, planted very close together to force them to grow quickly and grow up. It means that very little light reaches the ground, and in combination with the acid needles, it means there is hardly any other biodiversity in terms of plants grown beneath.
So when they're cut, there's nothing underneath? When the trees are cut, there's no species?
Nothing, yeah. No. And the other, after a clear fell of these trees, the stumps are treated, then the new plants, the new Sitka spruce that are being planted on site, are dipped in this chemical. So that's an issue as well, in order to protect those from the beetle, the young crop, you could say. Now, our native trees, when we cut them, as we know from the hedgerows, will spring back again from the stump. They do not need treatment. And using what's called a coppicing management method, whereby you cut the trees in small coupes and allow them to regenerate from the stump, you do not need to plant. So we would argue it's a more efficient system than the current system. And also, our native forest model would be what the environmental pillar policy proposes.
And is it very hazardous, the chemical cypermethrin?
It is, because the opportunity arose to make this submission because Quilter have an eco label called FSC, and that's Forest Stewardship Council. It's an international body, and they grant eco labels to forests that are supposedly sustainably managed. Now, Quilter have had this, enjoyed this eco label for many years, and FSC lists cypermethrin as a hazardous chemical on its own list, and basically it normally does not allow certification to companies that are using. However, Quilter made what's called a derogation. They asked for a license to use it with a view to phasing it out, to finding alternatives to its use. And since they've been granted that license, they've had two licenses of 5 years. And the opportunity now has arisen because their license is out in October and they're looking to continue for another 5 years. So we're arguing they've had 10 years.
Very true.
To find alternatives, either alternative ways of dealing with the pine weevil, or look at an alternative forestry model altogether and eliminate the use of dangerous chemicals on our environment.
So what's next for Environmental Pillar then?
We've made a submission, and also a number of other individual groups and members of the public will have made submissions. In fact, I think the consultation process has been extended due to interest in it. And I suppose the public are still welcome to make submissions. It would be Quilter are conducting the consultation, which it's Quilter are looking for the license as well. So that, we might also have a slight conflict of interest there. And
who grants the license, do you mind me asking, Andrew?
FSC International grants the license.
Ah, okay.
For to allow the derogation. So in this case, Quilter are conducting the public consultation itself, but they're seeking the derogation. So we would say this is another example almost of self-regulation, because when we asked for evidence of monitoring on sites, now bear in mind the sites affected are over 50,000 hectares per year. That's a very large area.
It's huge.
Of what's called reforestation. We also asked for the amount of cypermethrin they have used since 2007. When they first got licensed to use it, and it's over 100,000 litres have been used.
Good Lord. It's a huge amount. And obviously going into the ecosystem in the areas as well, I would think.
Yes, yeah, and you know, we were astonished at that amount. We didn't realise until we asked them. And as I say, the request for information came because of this opening, this window of consultation. We also, you know, requested the testing, scientific testing of water, soil, and also on biodiversity of plants and mammals, and also the impacts on human health. We were seeking monitoring reports. And again, we were astonished to find that there was only one report on water in 2007. And we've also contacted the EPA, who do not have any, could not forward us any information for the consultation either. And the Forest Service, who are the regulator of forestry in Ireland, also failed to provide any reports regarding monitoring and testing. So we're asking the Soil Association, who are the auditor for the Forest Stewardship Council. Sorry about all these.
Well, it makes sense because I'm following the pattern, and I was just thinking as you were speaking there that surely the people who grant the license should actually be the ones who are looking for all the test results.
They should be demanding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're astonished to find that the people granting the eco label, who are granting the license, who are assessing its use, you know, and how it's being used, are not seeking, do not demand monitoring scientific testing.
I mean, it would make logical sense.
So we do not know the impacts, the full impacts. We know it kills insects because that's what it's being used for. The problem is, how many other insects are being affected by it? It's being aimed at one, the pine weevil, but it must also be killing other insects. It's also listed as, you know, extremely hazardous for pollinators, for many insects act as pollinators, especially bees. Bees are in decline worldwide, and pollinators in general are needed for food. Three quarters of the world's crops depend on insect pollination. In a recent international survey, in an estimate of 100 crop species which provide 90% of food for the world, 71 of these crops need bees for pollination. So this is a very serious issue. In terms of human health, the cypermethrin is an endocrine disruptor. These are chemicals that at certain doses can interfere with the immune system, the endocrine hormone system.
You know, I mean, I find the whole thing fascinating. I mean, from the point and disturbing, I have to admit, from the perspective of yourself, on a final note, if anybody wanted to get involved in this or find out a little bit more, what would you recommend they do?
Well, I'd recommend that they would go to their TDs, their elected representatives, and also contact Cuilte, and go to the Environmental Pillar website as well. Information and
are there contact telephone numbers, I wonder, Andrew? Would there be a contact telephone number for the Environmental Pillar, or is the website the best place to go?
The website would have that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So if you Google Environmental Pillar, and I suppose just to start putting pressure on the regulatory authorities to regulate as well, to ask why there has been no testing.
Yes.
You know, it's astonishing. What it appears to be happening, or what appears to be the case, is that it's being self-regulated, and self-regulation does not work for the community at large or for the common good. And we know that. We know that only too well.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And I just one last question. The when does the window close in terms of the license issuing? Do we know?
Well, the official consultation process ended on Saturday, the 4th of July. But as I say, my understanding from a couple of individual groups is they've got an extension to make submissions. And I don't know. Just wonder about the, I mean, I can give the email address of the Soil Association and FSC, if you like.
Yes, please.
For the public to make submissions. A Grundy, at soilassociation.org.
Great.
and communications at ffc.org. That's all lowercase.
Brilliant.
And A. Grundy is Andrew Grundy is the person.
Well, we'll put that up on our Facebook page, and you never know. It just might all help keep the pressure on.
Yes, well, just keep pressure on, and look, you know, ultimately this is about moving away. It's about moving away from this outdated forest model to a more holistic, natural model based on our native trees that do not require pesticides or fertilizers. And maybe we, like, what we'd like to do is continue this debate and maybe open up. Maybe you might have me on to talk about how this receive a different form.
That would be we'll do that another day. I'm going to leave it there, Andrew, for today, unfortunately, because I could talk to you all day, but that doesn't mean to say that we can give you the whole day. So from your own perspective, thank you so much for your your time.
Keltnet.org is the Kelt website. You'll find the information there as well.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Very interesting gentleman. Very passionate about the subject matter as well.